All right. Welcome, everyone. My name is Representative Cheryl Joaquin, and I'm the chair of the Education Policy Committee. I would like to call this remote hearing to order. I would first like to take a few minutes to review some of the public, some of the procedures to the public. So remember, we're going to be muting and unmuting mics before and after roll call, but it'd be helpful if you also manually mute your mic. As always, go through the chair for recognition. You can use the raise hands feature in Zoom, or you can call in, email into our CA or CLA. And you would have had all the documents in the committee packets, including all the amendments, the meeting minutes that from last time that we're going to okay, and then all the supporting documents. And then comments from the public, if folks would like to comment, if we have time at the end. We have taken a lot of testimony in all these provisions already. In fact, some of these we're hearing for the third time. But if you do want to make a public comment, if we have time, you may be able to do that. And you can send your comments to edpolicy@house.mn. That's edpolicy@house.mn. So now we're going to have staff unmute the microphones so that we can take attendance.
Chair Joaquin?
Present.
Representative Kunesh Padin?
Present.
Representative Erickson?
Present.
Representative Barr? Representative Baker? Representative Bennett?
Present.
Representative Bierman?
Present.
Representative Christensen?
Present.
Representative Hassan?
Present.
Representative Herr?
Present.
Representative Jordan?
Present.
Representative Mariani? Representative Moeller?
Present.
Representative Sandell?
Present.
Representative Scott?
Present.
Representative Erdahl?
Present.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Present.
Quorum is present.
Yeah, you didn't call my name.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Representative Grunhagen?
Present.
All right, thank you, members. Our next order of business will be to adopt the minutes for Friday, May 1st. A copy of the minutes are in your virtual packets, and we'll be doing this by a voice vote, so members, please unmute your mics. Would Representative Jordan like to approve the minutes for May 1st?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move the minutes for May 1st.
Thank you. Are there any additions or corrections? I'll give it a sec for folks to raise their hands. Seeing none, all those in favor of the approval of minutes for May 1st, 2020, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The motion passes and the minutes for May 1st are adopted. So now I am going to pass the virtual gavel over to Representative Kunesh Padin, our vice chair, as I present House File 163.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So members, today we are returning to the committee policy bill, House File 163. We took testimony on the DE3 amendment last Friday, and today we'll take up amendments and take a final vote on the bill. Last week, Representative Joaquin moved the bill and the D3 amendment, which were laid over at the end of the hearing. So today we're taking House File 163 and the D3 amendment to the House to House 163 back off of the table. We will start with the author's amendment and then proceed with 11 other amendments that have been offered by members of the committee. The order of the amendments can be found on the agenda in your members' virtual packets on the committee and on the committee website. So, Representative Joaquin, would you like to move your A-17 author's amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A-17 amendment before the committee. First, do we need to move the DE-3 before the committee? Or we already, I will move, first I'd move the DE-3 amendment before the committee. And then next I would move the A-17 amendment as the author's amendment.
Okay. Okay. So Chair Joachim moves the D3 amendment, and then she moves the A17 amendment as well.
So members, the A17 amendment includes a few provisions that we heard early on in session on February 26th. It was House File 3580. It was the Pelsey policy bill. It was a larger bill, but we took a few, we talked to Pelsey, and there were a few different provisions that they really need to get done this year. So we had them pick those out, so I put those in an author's amendment. We have had testimony on this bill already. The language in the amendment addresses adding two more members to the board and adjusts the composition to cover the workload that they were already struggling with before COVID-19, and we know it's going to be even greater after. It also has the provisions around the Tier 2 licensing that allows preparation programs outside of Minnesota to be recognized. This would encompass the preparation programs for the American Sign Language teachers that take a program right across the border. And finally, it includes a language that allows teaching candidates to use their EdTPA performance assessment in place of the pedagogy exam. As we discussed in committee before, the EdTPA is much more a rigorous assessment. Additionally, with testing centers being closed due to COVID-19, it provides a viable alternative for our aspiring educators. The other provisions, including an author's amendment, is some additional language around House File 853 regarding the functional behavior assessment. It adds language that the Senate included and additional comfort language requested by the advocates. And we have also changed the effective date in Representative Moeller's bill on mental health training on lines 2.14 and 3.21. So members, I will stand for questions on the A17 amendment.
All right, it appears that Representative Erickson has a question. Representative Erickson, would you like to state your question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just wanted to express my concern about this amendment that I normally would vote no on, but out of respect to the author, my caucus will be voting yes on this amendment. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Chair, Representative Joachim, do you have a response to that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the vote, and I would like to hear the concerns that you have maybe now or offline.
Okay. Members, any other discussion on this amendment? Hearing none, Representative Joachim renews the motion for the A17 amendment to be adopted and added to the D3. Are there any questions on the motion? All right. Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the amendment, please.
Chair Joachim.
Aye.
Representative Kunesh Padin.
Aye.
Representative Erickson.
Aye.
Representative Barr. Representative Baker. Representative Bennett.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
Aye.
Representative Christensen.
Aye.
Representative Grunhagen.
Aye.
Representative Hassan.
Aye.
Representative Herr.
Aye.
Representative Jordan.
Aye.
Representative Mariani. Representative Moeller.
Aye.
Representative Sandel.
Aye.
Representative Scott.
Aye.
Representative Erdahl.
Aye.
Representative Wasilewicz.
Aye.
15 ayes, 0 nays.
There being 15 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails and the A17 amendment is adopted. Members, we will now move on to the A5 amendment. It was submitted by a committee member who would like to...
Oh, Madam Chair.
Excuse me. Yes.
Thank you. Sorry. I just wanted to thank Madam Chair and members for adopting the A17 amendment to put the bill in the shape the author would like. What we have before us is a really slimmed down version of an education policy bill that we walked through last Friday and had further discussion. So sorry to interrupt, but go ahead and we'll take up the other amendments.
All right. Thank you, Representative Joachim. So now we will move on to the A5 amendment, Representative Wasilowicz, early childhood provisions. Representative Wasilowicz, would you like to move your A5 amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A5 amendment.
And do you, would you please briefly describe your amendment?
Yep, I can do that. So the provisions in the A5 amendment were discussed and approved by the Early Childhood Division during our hearing earlier this week. And it's not huge changes. I'll just walk through what those changes are really quickly, and then if folks have questions. There's a section in the beginning is an MDE proposal, which essentially establishes a developmentally appropriate timeline for screening for early learning scholarship recipients who receive a scholarship before turning age 3. So wanting to align the screening guidelines with the scholarship guidelines in terms of when what age kids are receiving those. And then also one of the biggest pieces of this amendment is changing the date on for the Parent Aware program in terms of what level STAR Parent Aware programs will receive early learning scholarships. So current law says that as of July 1st of this year, only 3 and 4 STAR Parent Aware rated childcare providers will be eligible to accept early learning scholarship children. As many of us know, even before the COVID pandemic, there was general agreement that this date would likely need to be extended to prevent further reduction in the availability of quality childcare and to avoid putting additional stress on our struggling childcare industry. Rather than simply postponing this to another date in the future where we would have to come back and do this again, we are using language that would allow childcare providers who have earned a Parent Aware 1 or 2 star rating to continue to be eligible to serve early learning scholarship children until 40% of all eligible providers statewide are Parent Aware rated. As of March 31st of this year, 28% of eligible providers have earned Parent Aware ratings. That's the most recent data that we have from DHS. To reach the proposed 40% threshold that's in this amendment, an additional 1,251 providers across the state would need to earn ratings. So our goal with this is to preserve our commitment to quality for our most at-risk children, but also recognize the realities of where our child care sector is at and the current economic challenges that folks are facing. So we're trying to make that easier and give parents options for quality programs, but to acknowledge that there are some struggles happening right now in the industry. This specific provision of the amendment has been discussed and passed out of the Early Childhood Finance and Policy Division twice, as part of House File 1 and then as part of House File 4375. So that's a big piece of this amendment. And then the final piece is it's an MDE proposal that adds tribal nations to interagency early intervention committees. So these committees are charged with public outreach, identification of community resources for children under the age of 5 and their families. The State Interagency Coordinating Council is charged with recommending policies to ensure a comprehensive and coordinated system of all state and local agency services for children under age 5 with disabilities and their families. The list of required members for the ICC includes a representative from Indian Health Services or a tribal council. So the goal is to have that the tribal representation from the tribal nations on these interagency early intervention commitments as well. So that's a brief summary of the amendment. And if people have questions, I can take some questions.
Thank you, Representative Wasilowicz. Are there any questions from members? Well, seeing none, Representative Joachim, would you like to make a comment on this amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would accept this as a friendly amendment. It includes language that has been embedded by the Early Childhood Committee, as Representative Wasilowicz said. It's mainly technical in nature. The more substantive change regarding the extended deadline for the Parent Aware program will have a hearing in the Senate later today as well. So once again, I'd accept this as a friendly amendment.
Thank you, Representative Joachim. Seeing no more questions, Representative Wasilowicz renews the motion that the A5 amendment be adopted. Any more questions on this motion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Chair Joachim?
Yes.
Representative Kanesh Pudeen?
Yes.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Barr, excused. Representative Baker, excused. Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bierman?
Aye.
Representative Christensen?
Aye.
Representative Grunhagen?
Aye.
Representative Hassan?
Aye.
Representative Herr?
Aye.
Representative Jordan?
Aye.
Representative Mariani, excused. Representative Moeller?
Aye.
Representative Sandel?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Aye.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Aye.
15 ayes, 0 nays.
There being 15 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails and the A5 amendment is adopted. Next, we will move to the A1 amendment. We have that submitted by our committee member. Who would like to offer and move the A1 amendment?
That would be Representative Erdahl.
Representative Erdahl, thank you. Representative Erdahl moves the A1 amendment. Would you like to speak to your amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And first of all, I do have a couple of author's amendments that I would like to make. They're pretty simple. I'd like to delete lines 1.17, 118, and 119. They are contrary to what is in other places in the amendment, or in the amendment. And then, wherever the word task force appears, I would like the word working group to take its place. So delete task force and include working group. And I believe it's in lines 1-4, 1-5, 1-8, and 1-20. If it's some other place, I may have missed it. But that's the amendment, those two.
All right. Members, any discussion on those friendly amendments? Seeing none, I'm going to ask nonpartisan staff to please repeat their understanding of Representative Erdahl's proposed friendly amendment.
Madam Chair?
Motion. Yes.
There is one more usage of task force on 2.17. that we might want to incorporate.
Okay.
Yep, there, I see it.
All right. Well then, at this time, I would like to ask our nonpartisan staff to please repeat their understanding of the motion so we're all clear. Do we have nonpartisan staff?
Apologies, Chair Kanesh Pudeen. This is Ben Weeks from House Research. I was muted.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah.
Proceed, Mr. Weeks.
So Representative Erdahl's amendment, as I heard it, would be delete page 1, lines 17 through 19, and then replace task force with working group throughout.
That's right.
All right, Representative Erdahl's request. Let's see, no need to vote on this oral amendment. The motion would be to adopt the amendment incorporating these changes.
All right, thank you. Madam Chair?
Please go ahead, Mr. Representative Erdahl.
All right, thank you.
And describe your full amendment at this time.
Okay. As many of you are aware, I've been talking about mentoring for quite a few years as one of my proposals to try to help with the quality of our schools and with our educators. This is scaled back from the amendment that actually I was going to have heard last month right before closure happened. But I think this works better to do it this way now. I would like to thank, this actually is a little bit convoluted how we wound up actually presenting this to you today and having it to move on. I'd like to thank Chair Joachim, Representative Freiberg with GovOps, who agreed to hear this as an informal hearing on Friday. I'd like to thank Commissioner Ricker for reviewing this and for our partisan staff, Jody Withers, for his help, and the School Board Association, because it was their suggestion that brought this forward today. Two out of five of our teachers, at least two out of five, quit in the first 5 years. Our teachers need more support. Mentoring can provide that. Some of the most successful education systems in the world have very comprehensive mentoring programs, and they keep their teachers longer. Now, we encourage today that schools, all our schools should have a mentorship program, but we don't know. Do all schools have a program? What type of mentorship programs are there? Are there models that we can draw from to create a model that Minnesota schools could have the option to utilize if they chose to do so? There are no mandates in here. This is a working group formed under the auspices of the Department of Education to answer questions and review the status of mentoring in Minnesota and to develop a plan that all schools could use if they chose to do so. So it's a clean and simple bill, and I don't need to talk a whole lot because, again, you've heard me probably in your minds too much over the years anyway.
Well, thank you, Representative Erdahl. Chair Joachim, Representative Joachim, would you like to make a comment on Representative Erdahl's amendment?
First, I didn't know if you wanted to see if there were any member questions.
Oh, that's right. Any members wanting to ask a question or clarification on this amendment? Seeing none, Representative Joachim.
Thank you, members. I want to thank Representative Erdahl for being so persistent on this. I greatly appreciate it. Your diligence will be helping support teachers all around the state, and I think this working group's a good idea. And also, as a mother of a new teacher, I thank you as well. So, members, I would ask for your support on this amendment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Joachim. So Representative Erdahl renews the motion that the A1 amendment, incorporating his verbal changes, be adopted and added to the DE3 amendment. Are there any questions on the motion? All right, before we vote, I would just like to recognize Representative Mariani has just joined us. I'd like to acknowledge him for the record. So now I'll ask the clerk to take the roll on the amendment.
Joachim?
Yes.
Representative Kanesh Padin?
Yes.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Barr excused. Representative Baker excused. Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bierman?
Aye.
Representative Christensen?
Aye.
Representative Grunhagen?
Aye.
Representative Hassan?
Aye.
Representative Herr?
Aye.
Representative Jordan?
Aye.
Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Representative Moeller?
Aye.
Representative Sandell?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Aye.
Representative Wazlowick.
Aye.
16 ayes, 0 nays.
Members, there being 16 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails and the A1 amendment is adopted. Next, we'll move on to the A3 amendment. We have that submitted by a committee member. Who would like to offer and move the A3 amendment?
Representative Grunhagen would like to move that amendment.
Representative Grunhagen moves the A3 amendment. Representative Grunhagen, would you please briefly describe your amendment to us?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The committee has heard this in a bill form, and I think it passed unanimously in the past. Basically, this came from my local school district, and what happens with the PSEO students in some cases, they're either failing their course or they're not attending, and yet the home public school is not notified of that. And so they just keep sending the money to the school where they transferred for the PSEO. This creates a lot of frustration on the school that the student originally was attending. So all this amendment does, on line 2.18, it says a pupil must provide the school with a copy of the pupil's grades in each course taken for the secondary credit under this section, including interim or non-final grades earned during the academic term. So it simply keeps the resident school notified that the student is attending class and that they are passing it. And I think it's just a little bit of accountability, and it really is going to be good for the student to be accountable so that we're not having them not attend or not pass a course without any help. So I would urge that the committee would support this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Members, is there any discussion? Representative Joaquin, would you like to comment on this amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Grunhagen, for bringing this forward. I would accept it as a friendly amendment. This bill was heard, like Representative Grunhagen said early on, and sent to the floor. The Higher Education Committee had said that they did not need to hear it either, and I think the provision is very practical and makes sense. So once again, members, I'd ask for a yes vote.
Wonderful. Representative Grunhagen renews the motion that the A3 amendment be adopted and added to the D3 amendment. Any questions to the motion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the motion.
Joaquin?
Yes.
Representative Kunesh Padin?
Yes.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Barr excused. Representative Baker excused. Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bierman?
Aye.
Representative Christensen?
Aye.
Representative Grunhagen? Representative Hassan?
Aye.
Representative Herr?
Aye.
Representative Jordan?
Aye.
Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Representative Moeller?
Aye.
Representative Sandell?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Aye.
Representative Wasloick?
Aye.
16 ayes, 0 nays.
Thank you,
there
members.
Being 16 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails and the A3 amendment is adopted. Moving on to the A4 amendment, MCA graduation requirements. We have the A4 amendment submitted by a committee member. Who would like to offer and move the A4 amendment?
Representative Grunhagen would like to move the A4 amendment.
Representative Grunhagen moves the A4 amendment. Representative Grunhagen, would you please briefly describe your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope this one is easy as the last one. No. Somehow I don't think so.
Uh-oh.
And again, I've been consistent on this one at least. And I do believe you need to have a requirement academically to be able to pass on a test. And, you know, members, and even some of my members from the other side of the aisle said, when students take the MCA, some of them don't even care. And one of the reasons is because they realize it doesn't matter whether they pass or not. And we need some type of a consequence. Just like we did some accountability for the PSEO, I think we should have some accountability on the graduation test. You know, the other thing, members, and you've heard me say this before, I did jail ministry for 13 years, okay? And one of the things you notice pretty quick is that most of the prisoners can't read very well. And yet a lot of them have a high school degree, 12 years in school, and they can't read very well. In addition to that, I shared this before, that a staff member this session put out a research paper from 2015 to 2019, our reading and math scores actually went down in the state. So you could make an argument that the laws we have passed have done more damage than good in the last 4 years. This would actually bring some accountability. I don't think we'll get to the world's best workforce or properly address the educational gap in the state unless we impose some type of consequence for graduation. I know it's a tough vote for people on both sides of the aisle in some cases. So, Madam Chair, with that, I would like to withdraw the A4 amendment.
All right. Members, Representative Erdahl withdraws the A4 amendment. And with that, we
Representative Grunhagen.
Representative Erickson, you had a question?
Oh, I'm sorry. Who did, Madam Chair? It's Representative Grunhagen's amendment.
Oh, my apologies. Representative Grunhagen withdraws his amendment, the A4 amendment. And
I just as soon blame Representative Erdahl for it anyway. So.
Oh, my goodness. We are going to keep it on you, Mr. Representative Grunhagen. So Representative Grunhagen withdraws his amendment. I would just like to make note that Representative Barr just joined and want to acknowledge him for the record. Members, is there any discussion to this bill or are we past that point? All right, then we will move along. We'll move on to the A6 amendment. It removes teacher of color indigenous provisions. We have an A6 amendment submitted by a committee member. Who would like to offer and move the A6 amendment?
Madam Chair, that's my amendment. I'll offer that.
All right, so Representative
Bennett.
Bennett, thank you. Representative Bennett moves the A6 amendment. Would you please briefly describe your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. This amendment deletes from some sections of Article 1 and Article 4 that are changes to the principal and teacher evaluations. And what I'm offering here is deleting these so that we can revisit them next year. And I really am not debating the substance of these. You know, we've had that in committee before, the substance of the provisions right now. What I'd like to offer and say is that I really feel that school districts and schools and principals and teachers have so much on their plates right now and will next year as well with all the virus issues happening and distance learning and coming back and trying to figure out what to do. And to add exactly what this is a huge amount of work onto our principals, our teachers, our school board members. It's not only rewriting areas of the world's best workforce and redesigning things, but also having to go to the various unions and renegotiate as well. So I just feel that these provisions should wait. Again, I'm not attacking the issues themselves, just saying that there's so much on the plates of school boards and associations and everything. I think this should really wait. And I know this is extended out until 2022 in the current bill, but they would have to get going next year in a big way to get this finished by that time. So just asking that we would just remove this right now, revisit it next year when we know more of what schools are going to be facing after coming back from distance learning or whatever they're going to be doing.
Thank you, Representative Bennett, for your explanation. Before we go on, I'd like to just go back to Representative Erdahl. I think he had his hand up in the last amendment, and I missed that. Representative Erdahl, did you have a comment?
Yes, I'm not Representative Grunhagen. Much as I admire him, I don't want credit for all of his amendments.
All right. Well, you two fellows sit so close to each other, and now you're adjoined on the screen. I'm getting a little mixed up here, but thank you for making that very clear. All right. Well, thank you, Representative Bennett, for your description of your amendment. Members, is there any discussion on this amendment? All right, I'm not seeing any. So, Representative Joaquim, would you like to share your thoughts on this amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just was waiting to see if anybody had comments. So I would ask members for a no vote. This removes the language around cultural competency and responsiveness from this bill, including provisions from the Teachers of Color and American Indian Act. COVID-19 has shown a harsh light on the disparities in our schools and just maybe exacerbating the opportunity gap. I cannot think of a more important time to make sure our schools have goals in place to create a more responsive environment for all of our students. So once again, members, I would ask for a no vote.
Thank you, Representative Joaquim. And I would just like to also put in a little plug for the Teacher of Color Indigenous. I've been teaching for 25 years, and in my years of teaching, maybe only a handful of teachers of color within the schools that I've taught at. And it really is important, and it really does make a difference when we have teachers in the front of the classroom that look like the kids that we're teaching, that have a lot of the same life experiences that the students have had, that oftentimes speak the language or, you know, have those common life experiences that can help other teachers understand what the disconnect is or what the extra assistance might be to get these kids acclimated and achieving in a way that we want. I've been in schools where we've had kids right out of refugee camps or right out of a war-torn area or a tornado area. And there's trauma that goes along with those. And when we have somebody that can sort of speak the language of our students, not just to help our students, but to help our administration and the other teachers understand the impact of those life experiences, I know that we make a difference in our classrooms. And I would hate to wait. I would hate to put this on hold and say, let's wait for this, let's wait for that, because sometimes we don't know what the future is, and the longer we wait, the longer we are missing out on those sort of things. And so I am done with my comment, and I believe that Representative Erickson has a comment. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I just want to remind you that we've had cultural competency in law since the 2013-14 year. So these additions are not necessary in light of the fact that we already have a law. And a very good law. It's 120B.30Q, and it was created by both Representative Mariani and me. And it is very strong because it focuses on the interaction between the educators and the parents or the families in regard to three areas, native language, socioeconomic, and culture. And if we follow the law, we don't need to add anything additional to the statutes. So that will always be my argument, that we have in law already excellent cultural competency statute and that we should follow it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Representative Mariani, you'd like to make a comment.
Thank you, and I'll be very brief, and I appreciate your comments. I would say ditto to that. I would, as I did last time, I'd also thank Representative Erickson for working with me over the years to make sure that those particular provisions are part of our statutes. I think what you have before us is just the constant evolution and strengthening of that, particularly embedded in the world's best workforce, which is our core guide for holding through state prisms, the lenses, holding our system accountable. And I can tell you this, that the hunger and the thirst across the state, both our teaching and administrative staff, has been growing in this regard. And so I think the argument that we would be creating a onerous, mandate, on systems and practitioners doesn't match up with the fact that folks are looking to pursue these kind of practices. And quite frankly, right now, during distance learning, even more so, even acutely now, the Department of Health is holding a series of learning opportunities online where this issue is core and central to what folks all across the state educators are asking for in terms of adding to their own skills beyond just the licensing requirements, but in terms of what are the practical things that you do in a school and what are the practical tools that we need to develop, like ethic study curriculum to do that. So I think this is a good move. It's the next step of the work that I embarked on and that Professor Erickson embarked on. I think it's the natural move for us to build it right into our world's best workforce. And so I would strongly urge that we keep this language.
Thank you, Representative Mariani. Representative Erdahl, you have a comment or question?
No, I don't know why you're calling on me every time.
You must just be so engaged.
Buster might have bumped something here. I don't know.
You might have your hand up, but that's just fine. Thank you.
Wait a second. There, it's gone.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No problem. All right. Any more questions, representatives? All right. Seeing none, Representative Joaquin, would you like to make one last comment?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. I just wanted to echo what Representative Mariani said. I think this really does build on the work that's already been done, and it definitely is needed. So, members, I would ask for a no vote on removing the sections of the Teachers of Color and Indigenous Act out of the bill.
Thank you. So Representative Bennett renews the motion that the A6 amendment be adopted and added to the D3 amendment. Any questions on the motion? All right, seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the motion.
Chair Joaquin?
No.
Representative Kunesh Padin?
No.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Barr?
Aye.
Representative Baker excused. Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Grunhagen?
Aye.
Representative Hassan?
No.
Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Jordan?
No.
Representative Mariani?
No.
Representative Moeller?
No.
Representative Sandel?
No.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
No.
Representative Wasliwick?
No.
There being 12 ayes, 5 nays.
There being 12 ayes and 5 nays, the motion fails and the A6 amendment is not adopted.
Madam Chair.
Oops.
Yep. I think that might have been, can you repeat what?
Okay.
Or can we have the CLA maybe repeat?
12 nays.
Okay.
5 ayes. I'm so sorry.
I'll take the first one.
All righty. There being 5 ayes and 12 nays, the motion fails and the A6 amendment is not adopted. Thank you. All right, moving on to the A12 amendment. It was submitted by a committee member. Who would like to offer and move the A12 amendment?
Madam Chair, that would be me.
And that would be?
Representative Scott.
Representative Scott, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment provides that the proposed changes to the achievement and integration for Minnesota statutes is effective when the Department of Education completes the requirement to adopt new rules aligned to the new statute. And a few years ago, there were some changes in this area of law, and it was determined that MDE needed to change the rules around this area of statute. And that has not happened. And so it seems that we need to have the rules aligned to statute. So that is the amendment that I'm offering. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Scott. Is there any discussion, members? Yeah. Seeing none, Representative Mariani, you had wanted to say something?
Just very quickly, and I think my raising hand is just sort of on delayed time here. Just a very quick background. Representative Scott is right that the rules and the statute are not in alignment with one another. There was an attempt on the part of the department and the previous administration to align rules with the statute. There was a lengthy process with a heavy public engagement component to it. And the administrative law judge basically did not approve the rule change. And so we're kind of in this, murky area, right? But it wasn't for lack of the department attempting to do this work. We may want to ask counsel. I don't know that it's necessarily I don't know what the word is, that it's necessarily unworkable since statute, statute is a higher law, if you will. It's a higher authority to rules. It certainly would make it, it's certainly important to make sure that there's strong alignment between rules and statute, but I think the fact that they're not currently allowed does not negate the authority that we created, the new authority and the new frameworks that we created in the for the department to carry out the relatively new integration program. But you might want to ask, state or council, whether or not I'm right or wrong about that.
Thank you, Representative Mariani. I'm looking through to see if anybody else is wanting to make a comment. And seeing none other than Representative Joaquin, do you have a comment?
Thank you, members. I'd like to ask for a no vote. This delays implementation of a long-term plan around cultural responsiveness until final rules are adopted on a separate issue that has been litigated in the courts, and as Representative Mariani said, with the administrative law judge. I cannot help but think of the different approach that distance learning may have taken if schools had cultural responsiveness plans already in place. This is an important part of the TOCI bill. It should have been implemented last year, and the effect of this amendment would be to postpone implementation possibly indefinitely. So once again, members, I would ask for no vote.
Thank you, Representative Yawakim. And now I'm seeing that Representative Erickson, you would like to make a comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm sorry that I'm speaking after the chair because I did have my hand up when Representative Mariani was speaking. His remembrance is correct, but again, I'll point out that we're in violation of statute because in statute it says rules must be promulgated, and that hasn't happened. And as Representative Mariani pointed out, the ALJ did not accept the rules that were first set forth, and new ones are supposed to be promulgated. And, you know, I just feel very strongly that we should follow what says in the statute. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Any more comments or questions before we go to the author? To go through once more. I Representative Scott, I see you. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I too had my hand raised during Representative Mariani's his comments, and I apologize. I was going to basically kind of say the same thing that Representative Erickson said, that it seems to me like we're out of compliance, and MDE needs to, if they didn't succeed with the last rulemaking attempt, they need to keep trying until they get something that the administrative law judge says is acceptable. And if we don't adopt the amendment, to me, we're just kicking that can down the road and leaving school districts kind of in a difficult situation as far as what to expect and how the law's interpreted. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Scott. So when I look for hands to be raised, I'm looking on the participant page, and I'm sorry if you're waving like this, I'm not seeing you. My apologies, but I will give it more time and make sure that we are addressing and everybody gets the opportunity to speak. Any last questions, Representative Yawakim? Comment?
No, I believe the author had the last word, so.
Thank you then. Okay, so Representative Scott renews the motion that the 812 amendment be adopted and added to the DE3 amendment. Any questions on the motion? All right, I am seeing none. The clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Chair Yawakim?
No.
Representative Kunesh Pudin?
No.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Barr?
Aye.
Representative Baker excused. Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Grunhagen?
Aye.
Representative Hassan?
No.
Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Jordan?
No.
Representative Mariani?
No.
Representative Moeller?
No.
Representative Sandel?
No.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Yes.
Representative Wasilewicz?
No.
6 ayes, 11 nays.
There being 6 ayes and 11 nays, the motion fails and the A12 amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A7 amendment. Submitted by one of our committee members, who would like to offer and move the A7 amendment?
Wait.
Sorry, Madam Chair, I was not unmuted. Thank you. I move the amendment. Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. Representative Bennett moves the A7 amendment. Would you please briefly describe your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. And first, I'd like to point out, before we're offline, that little white fluff ball right back there, it's my little buddy Kelchi. So anyway, I wanted to point that out. She's joining our committee meeting today, although she's napping through the entire thing. We must be very exciting for her. So anyway, Madam Chair and members, I have the A7 amendment. And this amendment actually just simply pushes back the effective date for new reporting requirements for the dyslexia screening and the pupil withdrawal and education records provision. It just pushes it 1 year back to the 2021-22 school year. And these provisions are good. I can't argue against them, but I just, for the same argument I had for my last amendment, I just think schools right now, we need to allow them to wait another year. There's so much on the plates of our administrators, our teachers, our school board members, and there will be next year as well. And this just adds to the stress with new requirements like this. So I really think we need to honor our teachers and principals and all those involved and just push some of these requirements out so that they have time. And those of us who are teachers and now or in the past, we know how teachers are already working way more than their 8-hour school day, as are the principals. They have very little time during, before, after school to even address normal things. And to add this on during a time when there are so many added things on their plates, I just think it would be worthy of us to push this out one more year. So Madam Chair, that is my amendment. And I would just add too that the governor has already directed the commissioner to plan for a hybrid distance learning and on-site learning for next year. We don't know what next year is going to look like. And so therefore I just ask that we move this out 1 year.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. Members, is there any discussion on this amendment? All right, I've gone through the list. Seeing none, Chair Joaquim, would you like to make a comment?
Members, first, I would ask for no vote on this provision. It actually delays the pupil withdrawal agreements, which the administration would have to put into place, not teachers. And I believe that the language around the pupil withdrawal agreements is as hammered out as it's going to be, and it's about time we got this small step done. As for the provision around the dyslexia reporting that you're delaying, this actually came out of a comprehensive working group that met this summer. That included, I believe, the MSBA, but I could be corrected if I'm wrong. And this language help gives those implementing the program clarification on reporting that they've asked for. So once again, members, I would ask for no vote.
Thank you, Representative Joaquim. Any other members? If not, would the author like to make a final comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just would, again, put a plug in for and thank all those, the teachers, the principals, administrators, all those who are working so hard and would wish that we would vote to give them a break and help them out next year because they're going to be super busy from administration on down, teachers on up. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Bennett renews the motion that the A7 amendment be adopted and added to the D3 amendment. Are there any questions on the motion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Chair Joaquim?
No.
Representative Kanesh Pudin?
No.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Barr?
Aye.
Representative Baker excused. Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Grunhagen?
Aye.
Representative Hassan?
No.
Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Jordan?
No.
Representative Mariani?
No.
Representative Moeller?
No.
Representative Sandell? Representative Sandell?
No.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Aye.
Representative Wasilewicz?
No.
Six ayes, 11 nays.
There being six ayes and 11 nays, the motion fails and the A7 amendment is not adopted. Moving on to the A8 amendment submitted by a committee member. Who would like to offer and move the A8 amendment?
Representative Erickson moves the A8 amendment to the delete all of 163.
Thank you. Representative Erickson, please briefly describe your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Something really good is happening in Article Section 2, and that's that we're adding Tribal Nations Education Committees to be involved in the expansion, or I shouldn't say expansion, but writing of our state standards. So it brings the American Indian community into that process. My amendment moves the priority, as is stated in the DE3 to 163, and that's that I think it's important that parents remain in first position and that the order of those involved in standard setting remain as it is in present law with our addition of the Tribal National Education Committee coming in the position to which I have moved it in this amendment, which is position 5. So members, we have in present law, parents first, and then teachers or parents and members of the public. And then we have teachers and others who are licensed to instruct. And then we have local school boards and charter school boards. Then we have faculty teaching course subjects at post-secondary institutions. And my amendment then would put Tribal Nations Education Committee in fifth position. And then we proceed with representatives of the business community. And that ends the list of those who the commissioner must consider advice from when developing state standards. I ask for a yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Are there any questions or any discussion on this bill? I see that Representative Erdahl has his hand up. Representative Erdahl, would you like to speak to this amendment?
Well, thank you. Yes, I do have my hand up. And I speak in support of this amendment. I think it's a good one. I think including the tribal nations in this is an important step. So I thank Representative Erickson for bringing it up.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Are there any other members who would like to speak to this amendment? Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have an objection really to reordering of the folks in this amendment. My concern is the removal of the language that says, and representatives from Minnesota tribal nations and communities, including both Anishinaabe and Dakota. I think that language helps give clarity to the statute and is more inclusive of the tribal community, so it asks for a no vote.
Representative Erickson, any last words?
Madam Chair, I ask for support. I think that it is understood that these are our tribal nations in Minnesota, and they obviously are included in the Tribal Nation Committee, Education Committee. That's.
All right. Representative Erickson renews the motion that the A7 be adopted and added to the D3 amendment.
Madam Chair, it's the A8.
Oh, excuse me, you're right. The A8 amendment. Are there any questions on the motion?
Copy.
Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Joachim?
No.
Representative Kanesh Pudin?
No.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Barr?
Aye.
Representative Baker excused. Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Grunhagen?
Aye.
Representative Hassan? Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Jordan?
No.
Representative Mariani?
No.
Representative Moeller?
No.
Representative Sandell?
No.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Aye.
Representative Wasliwick?
Nay.
Six ayes, 11 nays.
There being six ayes and 11 nays, the motion fails and the A8 amendment is not adopted. We'll move on to the A14 amendment in front of us, submitted by a committee member. Who would like to offer and move the A14 amendment?
Madam Chair, Representative Erickson moves the A14 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Would you please briefly describe your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The A14 requires that schools adopt a policy in consultation with parents of our American Indian students in our schools regarding graduation ceremonies rather than imposing a statewide one-size-fits-all mandate. And members, I will just tell you that in my two school districts of Onamia and Isle, where I have many American Indian students enrolled, this is what they do. They sit down and meet, that is the American Indian students and the committee for the parents or the guardians with the school district, and they decide on what is acceptable in the graduation ceremonies, and it has worked very well for years. So I think that it's important that we allow this local discretion and that if there's no parent advisory committee, the school should consult the parents anyway to arrive at a policy. But I think it's always good that we have policy that is premised on local decision-making rather than make this a state mandate. I ask for a yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Is there any discussion? All right, seeing none, Representative Joaquim, would you like to make a comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I would ask for a no vote. This amendment changes the spirit of the underlying language. While it would require consultation with the American Indian Education Parent Advisory Committee, it does not require the school district to accept their consultation when adopting a policy. So once again, members, I would ask for a no vote.
Representative Erickson, final word.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, I think it's important that we allow local districts to make these policies. This amendment definitely points to local decision-making. And I think that boards always honor that when the decision is mutually agreed upon from whatever group it may come. Thank you. I ask for a yes vote.
So Representative Erickson renews the motion that the A14 amendment be adopted and added to the DE3 amendment. Any questions to the motion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Chair Joaquim?
No.
Representative Kanesh Padin?
No.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Barr?
Aye.
Representative Baker excused. Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Grunhagen?
Aye.
Representative Hassan?
No.
Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Jordan?
No.
Representative Mariani?
No.
Representative Moeller?
No.
Representative Sandell?
No.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Aye.
Representative Wasliwick?
No.
Six ayes, 11 nays.
There being six ayes and 11 nays, the motion fails and the A14 amendment is not adopted. Next is the A13 amendment submitted by a committee member. Who would like to offer and move the A13 amendment?
Madam Chair, members, Representative Erickson moves the A13 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Would you please briefly describe your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This amendment establishes the Education Innovation and Achievement Zone program, combining ideas from Representative Sandel's 4098 with the current session law that was created in 2017. It provides more flexibility for our schools without needing MDE approval. And as you heard me speak to this the other day when we heard Representative Sandel's bill, it seems that over the years that the barrier that has occurred for our innovation zones has been that step of approval by MDE. So I think because we have innovation zones across the state now with our distance learning, and to my knowledge, the commissioner has never said that she didn't approve of any of those distance plans, that as long as we're in innovation zone statewide now, that we should continue with this and give our school districts the flexibility to be innovative and not to just research an idea. I think maybe that's about as much as I want to say now. There might be some questions, and I have tried to couch the language so that there is no cost to this, and look forward to a yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Representative Bennett, I see your hand is up. Can't hear you. Representative Bennett, we can't hear you.
There you go. Sorry, didn't unmute myself again. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I do have a question for Representative Erickson. Representative Erickson, would the flexibility allowed here with revenue allow schools like the Fairmont schools who are holding the welding class, you know, outside of the school day and doing some innovative things there to be able to fund that with, you know, would the flexibility in revenue allow them to fund that like they need to?
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Bennett, for the answer. If you look at the amendment, you will notice that in subdivision two, I have included an exemptions from laws and rules, and that one of those very important points is made in that section in regard to the disallowing of any increase in state aid or levy. So a district would have its revenue to use, whether it comes from the expanded school age aid, or I shouldn't say school age, the addition that we have to using extended school time. So that should not be allowable based on the language that I've included in paragraph B under subdivision two, exemptions from laws and rules. So I think that the program, to which I know you have a great interest, could proceed. Also, I think because a zone can have a strong relationship with a variety of organizations, not just other school districts, but with community colleges, with colleges that emphasize technical training, or even with industry, that this could be worked out, even if there is a suspected to be a cost that might arrive. So I think, you know, the creativity of a district or the districts that want to proceed with innovation and achievement zones, and this is no longer a pilot program, it would be ongoing, even though it's in session law, there are many opportunities for our districts and charters to look at other ideas or even including the funding. But again, subdivision two, paragraph B, does not allow an increase in state aid or levy.
Okay, Madam Chair?
Yes, Ms. Representative Bennett.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Erickson. And I love the flexibility that this amendment would allow, and thank you to Representative Sandel, too, for his pushing of these types of things. And Representative Erickson, I think allowing districts the flexibility to just go with their ideas like this, whether it's the Fairmont schools who are, you know, trying welding outside the school day so that these kids who are struggling and who have to take extra classes during the school day can still take the ones they really love, things like welding outside of the school day. And the way they're jointly operating with other
students from other school districts. I just think I'm excited about this, and I think this amendment is the way to go to empower our schools like this, just to go for it. And I thank you for offering this.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. Next, we have Representative Wasloy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Erickson, I'm wondering online, let's see where it is here, I'll pull it up. 3.25 of the proposed amendment, you struck some language to do with research methodology. And I'm wondering if you can just explain why that change is being proposed.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, because I've changed these to innovation and achievement zones, the research then becomes secondary. And, you know, if you think about the methodology of research, it's at least 12 steps. And, you know, unless you have experts in your district, like, a Dr. Dave Heisted, it's going to be very difficult to come up with a hypothesis that you think you can work with and then proceed through the next 11 steps before you determine whether or not your project has worked. So in deleting the research methodology for the proposed action in the plan, I think is a way to say to districts, if you have a great idea, go for it, and don't worry about using a research methodology. And that would be how I would look at this deletion on line 3.2.
Anyone else? I'm looking through. I'm not seeing any other hands raised. Any questions?
Madam Chair, I think Representative Sandell had his
hand. There we go.
Sorry.
Representative Sandell. And we don't hear you. We're not hearing you, Representative Sandell.
My mic is unmuted. Can you hear me now?
Very faintly.
Oh, golly. I'm going to move to another room in the house to see if it'll help, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. Is that getting a little bit better?
A little better, yep.
I'm sorry. Well, I wanted to start by saying thanks very much to Chair Joachim and to the members for the patience and the time we've spent talking about this bill. And particularly to Representative Erickson for thinking about this and coming up with an imaginative approach to this. As you know, last week when we talked about this, we had just received a fiscal note from the Department of Education of $10 million. And in these days, that would be enough to sink the ship. The driving force behind that fiscal note was the issues of the so-called learning year, which Representative Bennett and Representative Erickson spoke about a little while ago. Now, I don't want to...
Excuse me, Representative Sandell, could you get as close as you can, even if you have to close off your video?
Sure.
So we can hear you better.
Is that better?
A little, yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Erickson's answer to that is imaginative and really, really important. If we have to go forward with a fiscal note that's burdensome, this will never get past Ed Finance, or certainly not Ways and Means. So, Representative Erickson, I want to say and I hope that works out. My response to Representative Wasloik's question is a suggestion that I made to Senator, Representative Erickson a little while ago.
Representative Sandell, I'm sorry, we are not hearing you.
Any luck here?
That's better.
Okay. Instead of striking line 3.25 in her amendment, I suggested that we substitute the words indicate research methodology or literature supporting the proposed plans. The language, I think, still endorses the idea of serious research and methodology, but I would hope would eliminate the extra expense that Representative Erickson is talking about. And I wonder if she would consider that language or if she would rather keep it out of her amendment.
Representative Erickson.
Madam Chair and Representative Sandell, I think that we should together study this if it goes forth in this bill or if it's taken up by the Senate, because I think there are a couple of questions to answer. But I think for now, we'll just let the amendment stand as it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. And Representative Sandell, I think you found your honey hole because we heard you really well at the end there. Any response?
My concern is with those two issues, and I'm happy to continue working on this with Representative Erickson and with others in the Senate as well, and at MDE if that's necessary.
All right, thank you, Representative Sandell. We're going to move along. Chair Joaquin, would you like to make a comment?
Thank you, members. I think it sounds like folks are going to still be working on this. Right now, I'd ask for a no vote. I appreciate all the work Representative Sandell has done. I also appreciate Representative Erickson's thought that this should stay in session law versus statute. But this amendment would remove an important thing, which is feedback with research. I am worried about that and taking out the research methodology. And it also removes the requirement of the Commissioner of Education to approve the school's application, something that we haven't currently talked about. And there are provisions in this bill that are still currently in education finance awaiting a new fiscal note that Representative Sandell's been working on. Sure, this is not the last time we'll hear this, but right now, members, I'd ask for a no vote.
Thank you. Final word, Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Keep in mind that the commissioner is not involved on the front end, but rather on the back end. And that if you look at the language in on 6.1, project evaluation, dissemination, and report, that each innovation zone partnership must submit project data to the commissioner in the form and manner specified by the commissioner, and perhaps the commissioner will be asking for some kind of research element. So that's left up to the commissioner. I think that's a much better idea, using the commissioner on the back end instead of on the front end, so that districts can take their creative ideas and go forth with them and find out if that's the best for their students and their partnership. Thank you. I ask for a yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. And just a note, House Public Info says that we can go past 4 p.m. So we're not going to rush, but we're going to try to move along as best we can. So Representative Erickson renews the motion on the 813 amendment and be adopted and added to the DE3 amendment. Are there any questions on the motion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Are you Joaquin?
No.
Representative Kanesh Padin?
No.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Barr? Representative Barr?
Aye.
Representative Baker excused. Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Grunhagen?
Aye.
Representative Hassan?
No.
Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Jordan?
No.
Representative Mariani?
Yes.
Representative Moeller?
No.
Representative Sandell?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Aye.
Representative Wasilewicz?
No.
Seven ayes, 9 nays.
There being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the motion fails and the A13 amendment is not adopted. Next up is the A15 amendment. Who would like to offer and move the A15 amendment?
Madam Chair and Committee, I move the A15 amendment on behalf of Representative Baker, who at the last minute had to be excused.
Thank you. Representative Erickson, briefly, please briefly describe your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Well, very briefly, this removes the purpose statement that's found in this section of the proposal. And it also focuses, you know, the fact that this is going to be a work in progress and that the report should be delayed until 2022. We have, you know, a newly established chair licensing system that shows positive signs, and we have repealed last in, first out for our retention policy. So it is good that we wait to find the results of this proposal until 2022. So I ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Members, is there any discussion? All right. Well, seeing none, Chair Yu Kim, would you like to make a comment?
Members, I would also ask for no vote on this. This removes the purpose statement from the goal of increasing teachers of color and American Indians and Indian students, teachers in our classroom. While we don't always have purpose statements in legislation, I think here this is very important to keep it in. It also delays the report by 2 years. That would help us just see where our preparation programs are at so that they can continue working towards the goal. I also think there may have been an error in the amendment on lines 2.4 because it still references the 2020 report while delaying the report to 2022 in lines 1.12. So once again, members, I would ask for a no vote.
Thank you, Representative Yao-Kim. Last word, Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Representative Yao-Kim did catch an error, which we, of course, could correct in a technical amendment. But I still ask for your report because I think all the reporting requirements is going to be more relevant in 2022, considering everything that's going on now and what, you know, we want to accomplish in this proposal. You know, we do want to increase our teachers of color, but putting purpose statements in statute is really not what we've been used to doing. So I think we can accomplish the goal without that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. So Representative Erickson renews the motion that the A15 amendment be adopted and added to the DE3 amendment. Any questions on the motion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Chair Yu-Akim?
No.
Representative Kunesh Padin?
No.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Barr?
Aye.
Representative Baker excused. Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Grunhagen?
Aye.
Representative Hassan?
No.
Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Jordan?
No.
Representative Mariani?
No.
Representative Moeller?
Oops. No.
Representative Sandel?
No.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Pass.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Oh.
5 ayes, 11 nays.
There being 5 ayes and 11 nays, the motion fails and the A15 amendment is not adopted. Members, that concludes our discussion of amendments to the DE3. We will now proceed on to a vote on adopting the DE3 as amended, and then we will take a final vote on the bill. Representative Yao-Kim renews the motion that the DE3 amendment as amended be adopted. Are there any questions on the motion? I am not seeing any, and so I will ask the clerk to take a roll on the amendment.
Madam Chair?
Oh, excuse me, Representative Joaquim.
I just want to make sure no members had any closing comments on the bill as well besides the motion before I make my final comments.
Madam Chair? Yes, Madam Erickson, Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Joaquim. You know, there are some good elements in this proposal, this policy bill that is going forward today. I'm concerned that the letter from the Bell Group was dated April 6th, and that we don't know since then what there might be in regard to concerns from all the educational groups. So I'll leave that question in the air. We also have at least nine new mandates in this proposal. And I would prefer that we focused this session on the continuity of education as it's proceeding now, as having statewide innovation zones, and the fact that we don't know what the future holds for our students. And there's so much more that we could have been doing to help our students, our teachers, and other staff to be ready for the 2020-21 school year. So with that, Madam Chair and Madam Chair and Madam, well, there are two chairs here. Representative Joaquim, who is the chair of the committee, and the acting chair of the committee, Representative Shpadeen. I think my caucus will probably cast no votes. And if they don't, at least I'll be casting a no vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Is there anybody else that would like to comment on it? All right, then the clerk will take the roll.
Madam Chair, yes. Can I have final comments, please?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members, thank you for your time today. As I said in the beginning, this is a very slimmed down version of an education policy bill. It was my hope that our committee could have accomplished much more during this session, but a pandemic changed that in the blink of an eye. A pandemic that has shown a harsh light on our opportunity gap, and I fear has exacerbated it. And as Representative Erickson said, our folks will need some help next year. We will have to be laser focused on policies that help our students who have been facing increased challenges and may have fallen further behind. So I ask that you all to please get your best ideas ready so we can hit the ground running next session, because our kids deserve no less from us. I think it's important for us to pass an education policy bill this year. In fact, it's our job. When putting together the final language of House File 163, I could, you know, have the bills that we had put forward that I could work with. I was looking for a balance of proposals that were either non-controversial, had a potential for consensus, would ease burdens on our school administration and staff, as well as creating a better climate for our students. They will absolutely need us to help them next year. I think we have struck that balance in this bill, and I ask for your support.
Wonderful. Thank you, Representative Joaquim. Any more questions? The clerk will take the roll on the amendment.
Chair Joaquim?
Yes.
Representative Kanesh Padin?
Yes.
Representative Erickson?
No.
Representative Barr?
No.
Representative Baker excused. Representative Bennett?
No.
Representative Bierman?
Yes.
Representative Christensen?
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen?
No.
Representative Hassan?
Yes.
Representative Herr? Representative Herr?
Yes.
Representative Jordan?
Yes.
Representative Mariani?
Yes.
Representative Moeller?
Yes.
Representative Sandell? Representative Sandell?
Yes.
Representative Scott. Representative Scott.
No.
Representative Erdahl. Representative Erdahl.
There. No.
Representative Wasilewicz.
Yes.
Eleven ayes, seven nays.
There being 11 ayes and seven nays, the motion prevails and the DE3 amendment as amended is adopted. Representative Scott, I think your hand is up. Did you have a question?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. I thought we were voting on the bill. I wasn't aware we were voting on the DE3 and you'd said amendment and I thought you meant to say bill, but it's a moot point now. Thanks.
We are now moving on to the final vote of the bill. And so if you would like to make a comment or add to discussion at this point, you may. Representative Scott.
No, that was my only, nothing. I don't have anything. Yeah.
Okay. So members, we are now moving on to the final vote of the bill. And is there any further discussion on this bill? I'm going to go through it again just to be sure. I'm seeing no hands raised in the chat. I'm seeing no visual hands raised. Okay, I think we are, unless Representative Joachim has any closing thoughts, I think we're good to go on the vote.
Members, I think we put a good package together, and I once again would ask for your yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Joachim. So Representative Joachim renews the motion that House File 163, as amended, be recommended for placement on the General Register. If there are any questions on the motion, this is your last chance. I'm sorry? Nope. Seeing none, the clerk will take the vote.
Chair Joachim?
Yes.
Representative Kanesh Padin?
Yes.
Representative Erickson? Representative Erickson?
No, I'm sorry.
Representative Barr?
No.
Representative Baker excused. Representative Bennett?
No.
Representative Bierman?
Yes.
Representative Christensen?
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen?
No.
Representative Hassan?
Yes.
Representative Herr?
Yes. Yeah.
Representative Jordan?
Yes.
Representative Mariani?
Yes.
Representative Mueller, excused. Representative Sandel?
Yes.
Representative Scott?
No.
Representative Erdahl?
No.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Yes.
10 ayes, 7 nays, or excuse me, 6 nays. 10 ayes.
All right, there being 10 ayes and 6 nays, the motion prevails and House File 163 as amended is recommended for placement on the General Register. I would like to thank Chair Joachim for all her hard work, her diligence, as well as this entire committee ensuring that we are able to put together a really strong policy packet for our students, our teachers, and our administrators. And with that, I will now pass the virtual gavel back to Joachim.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. This is our final meeting of the committee, as far as we know right now. And I wanna thank you for all the work that we did together. Thank you for all the discussion and the time we've put into one of the most important things we do in society, educating our children. I want to thank Representative Erickson and your team for all your open communications. It's really helped, especially in this last month as we faced and navigated very uncharted waters. While the end of the session wasn't what we expected, we were adjusted and we were able to accomplish our jobs. I would like to thank committee staff who have joined us during mid-biennium. It's been a pleasure to work with both of you. And I would like to also express my heartfelt gratitude to our nonpartisan staff. They have worked tirelessly and have done their already difficult jobs under these strange new circumstances. So I would like to thank everyone for that. And with that, members, this meeting is adjourned.